We're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 22. Also, to start off with, I'm going to be in Matthew 7, verse 7. But take your time, go to 2 Kings chapter 22. If you weren't here Wednesday, this is going to be the same kind of message that we preached Wednesday. Some of you are like, oh man. Kind of disjointed, but I've got a purpose. This whole Sunday, if I was to title it, and you put titles on these two messages, would be preemptive. Being preemptive. Preemptive with Jesus. Preemptive with God. Amen? That means you're not sitting back waiting. Waiting to worship. Waiting to pray. Waiting to do. You're in obedience going after Christ or going after the things. Amen? Of God. Because a lot of times we'll just sit around and be like, God, you're going to have to do something. Show me. A lot of times it's not in the show. Well, let's just get in the Word. I'll help you with the Word, okay? Because I don't want to preach it without the words. It'll make sense with the words. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, first of all. Ask and it shall be given. Ask and it shall be given. Y'all see that right there? Is that where y'all seeing Matthew? The ones that went to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Right? What does that mean? You got to ask. You got to seek. Right? And you got to knock. You've got to, that's preemptive. That's, I'm looking. Amen? I'm looking. I'm seeking. I'm knocking. That means there's actions in there for you. Right? Look at this. Verse 8. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. It's hard as a preacher not to stay right here. Amen? Because I run into so many people who say to me, I can't figure out what God, one, in salvation, two, after you're saved, what he wants to do. Amen? And then you read this right here and you say, everyone that what? Everyone that asks receives. Everyone that seeks finds. Everyone that knocks shall be opened. It's kind of it's on you, right? We're trying to figure out, saying, hey God, why ain't you doing? And God's in there going, why aren't you asking? Why aren't you seeking? Why aren't you knocking? I don't mean to jump and preach here all night, but I want to say this. A lot of times we're wanting to ask and seek and knock for something that really God doesn't want us to do anyway. It's family, it's Sunday night, I'm going to give this to you. You know where the last place is that I wanted to preach when I started preaching? Do you know where the last place was where it would be? In the church. And I'm serious. And I think it's not that God's got a sense of humor. He does. But I think God puts you in places a lot of times that he wants you in. Not that you want it so much. Is that he wants it so much. All right? You understand what I'm saying? God, I hope y'all get this. Because there's a lot of people who would love to stand on the platform and tell you how to live. Or tell the saints how to do it, because guess what? That's pretty safe. God, I hope it's pretty safe. Because if I preach the gospel real hard, tell you about heaven, tell you about hell, tell you about the blood, most of y'all are going to see me at the church. I mean, that was good. You do that somewhere else, and you'll be in conflict. You get on the street corner, you get into places and tell them about Jesus, and somebody's going to say, you need to quieten down with that. But you know what I wanted more than anything? I didn't mind the conflict. I just liked being around lost people. I thought, it's kind of a fishing thing. I figured if there's a lot of lost people there, I'm bound to catch some. Amen? But see, the one thing I didn't know about church is there's plenty of lost people here too. But as I've grown as a Christian, as a preacher, My goal, and I'm being honest with you, my goal as a preacher is really not, God, y'all are going to think I'm crazy. It's more to equip saints in the church than it is to save sinners. Now, if somebody says, hey, come preach a revival or an evangelistic meeting, I'm going there for one go and one go only. We're going to preach Jesus and Him crucified and see souls saved. But my job to you is to edify you that you're the one that goes out and finds those hidden ponds to fish in. Right? And I'm just going to be rude and say it this way. Not everybody can stand here and preach. Whew, I better get out of that before I get in trouble. Amen? I worry about somebody who's always wanting to preach in the church and never wanting to preach outside of the church. I worry about them. So, we need to consider. Yeah, golly, I got off on it. So, I told somebody that I don't get on rabbit trails, and I just chased one all the way to Alabama on that deal. My goodness. All right. Yeah, it'll be all right. We'll come back. Let's go back to verse 8. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom is the son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Verse 10, or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? I wanted to clear up that last part I wanted before I jump over and show you why this is going to connect with 2 Kings 22. Is don't think I'm giving you some kind of prosperity gospel, because I'm not. What I want to tell you this is God will meet your spiritual and your physical need. Amen? And this is so good. And this will also, God will also meet your capability of what you can handle. Golly, I needed to hear that if y'all didn't. Some people, you ever wonder why God gives some people certain things and He don't give certain others certain things? But you know what? Because God knows exactly who you are. Amen? He knows what you can handle. He knows what you'll do with it. He knows what you'll do if He gave you power, money, prestige. He knows what you'll do. Amen? And He also knows what you'll do if you'll be humble. Amen? Oh, goodness gracious. I hope y'all heard that. Because I love God, but sometimes I've asked God, why don't you do this, why don't you do that? And He goes, you know why? Because if I did that for you, you'd be ruined. There's such thing as spiritual spoilt, amen? I've met some spiritual spoilt people, amen? Oh, goodness gracious. Let's go to 2 Kings 22. I can feel myself just wanting to preach right there all night long. Golly, bum. But I want to stay on being preemptive. Asking, seeking, knocking. When you're given the opportunity to be somebody in Christ Jesus, when you're given the opportunity, what are you going to do with it? There was a king that we're going to, when you get to 2 Kings chapter 22, was given the opportunity to lead at a very young age. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1, his name is Josiah. Do you see Josiah right there? Is it jumping off the page at you? Josiah, 2 Kings 22, verse 1. Josiah was how old? 8 years old when he began to reign. That tells me some things. Amen. Either they don't have any more leaders, which is possible because they've been wicked kings before him, and there's not many men that can be kings. Hello. Amen. When you run out of leaders, you got to be satisfied with children leading. We'll get there eventually. Amen? And the other part of it is they wanted to manipulate, so they put somebody else that they could run in leadership. Ooh, that's a whole other message. Amen? But let's just say, for Scripture's sakes, God brings up kings and kingdoms. Let's just stay right there. God raises up kings and kingdoms. Amen? But Josiah is a surprise. Amen? Let's read about Josiah in verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. I bet a bunch of people kind of lowered their expectations of Josiah. There was a wicked queen, king before him, wicked after, one so wicked that he was more wicked than Ahab right before him. God had already kind of put a condemnation on Israel and Judah, and then all of a sudden Josiah comes out of nowhere. So I know I'm preaching too much for y'all right there, sorry. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jediah, the daughter of Adiah of Bochath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Woo! They gave him a position that they probably didn't think that he was qualified for, underestimated him, but yet God said, if you put somebody up there with a child's heart, then maybe I can turn it. Amen? And they put him up there, and in that 31 years, I don't know exactly where it was, but you know what he said? I'm going to pursue God. And you don't have to know everything about God to pursue God. I've got this thing going on in the church, and y'all will see it happen over the years as you stay tuned and stay connected. There will be people come in the church, and you will see them on a regular basis being drawn by God. And you'll start to say stuff like, man, we really need to do something. Here's what I always say, let them keep coming. Because if they keep coming and messing around with God, He's got a way of getting them. And you say, how do you know, brother? Because I got. I just wanted to say it like that. I'm sorry. He got me. Hey, man. You mess around with him, and no matter what kind of situation it is, you keep coming back. And God's a master surgeon. Y'all smile at me some. He's a master surgeon. He's doing heart surgery, spiritual heart surgery. Every time you come in here, my goodness, even a lost person, every time you come in here, he takes out that wire and unplugs that and rewires that, and he's moving some stuff, and they're sitting there going, my goodness, I'm uncomfortable. Well, you ain't supposed to be comfortable at the doctor's office, amen? Because the doctor's in the house and I'm working on you. And you say, I don't know what's wrong. I know something needs to be fixed. He's like, yeah, I know exactly what needs to be fixed, but we're working on it. Amen. You know, like when you go to the doctor, they run all kinds of labs and tests and stuff to figure out what the main issue is. God knows what the main issue is. He just takes a preacher and he comes along and he starts whacking at all of them until he hits that one. Amen. The heart of the issue. Amen. Y'all remember? Y'all know what the heart of the issue is, right? When that one time when you came and God got, he wasn't working through the preaching or the singing, the Holy One showed up and said, come on. Stop messing around, come on. He said that one thing, done that one thing, broke the dam, right? Yeah, okay. So he had a good heart. So the first thing, now look, he's a young man and he's been reigning his whole life as a king. Man, you know what human nature would be? I know what mine would be, my way or your way, my way or the highway, right? If I was a king since I was 8, everything in me would be, how's my crown look, you know? Y'all, be honest, you'd be hard to deal with. But he started seeking God early. Instead of building his own kingdom, instead of worrying about himself, because I guarantee you, he had a blueprint of kings before him who had worried about their house, their clothes, their crown, their stuff, how they were going to be wrote about, and how they were going to be passing down this great, I was the king, my name was so-and-so. He did something different. Let's look real quick at 6 and 8. 6 through 8. And I'm going to start in a weird place. It starts with unto. So I'm sorry for where that jumps into it, but I just... You'll get it in a second. Unto carpenters, okay? Y'all get that? It's to the carpenters and builders and masons and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit there were no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Zaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Zaphan, and he read it. Okay, let's stop here. I went one spot to it forward, but I'll correct it. He was looking. He goes, what can I, it's so good. What can I do for God? Yeah. Started reigning as the king at 8 years old. Instead of constantly building himself up. Y'all might want to take a note right here personally. Because we are bombarded daily with what can I do for myself and my family. But you can look at people's lives who've built their own kingdoms and watched them fall. Amen? But this man looked out and said, I've seen all these kings come up, and it don't seem like we're getting any better, we're getting any stronger, the country's not doing better, we look like we're doing worse. Let's repair the breaches in the house of God. No. God's in heaven, and he is already kind of fed up with his kids. And all of a sudden, somebody who's been a king since they were eight and could be doing himself, has got no blueprint of how to do it right, just, listen, I hope you get my heart right here, looked around and said, I don't know what to do. I don't even know how to do it. But let's just fix the holes in God's house. We'll start there. I hope y'all get this. I really don't know how to please God. God, let's just be real. God don't need a house. Right? He's God. He's on the inside and the outside of the house. He's omnipotent, omnipresent. Amen? There's no place where there's no God. But wouldn't it... Have your kids ever done something when they were really small for you that was really insignificant and couldn't help you at all, but the thought mattered? Amen? Right? Daddy, I'm going to fix your house. I don't need a house to live in, but man, that's cool. Right? While they were, and listen, this is the attitude they had. Now, I know we're coming up on a business meeting. I didn't do this on purpose, but maybe God did. They just gave. And they gave, and they gave, and gave. And nobody, they just said, build the house back. Sorry, that's just one of those chucks in the business meeting. Just give and give and give until the house built. Amen? Anyway, they started fixing the breaches, and guess what happened while they were fixing the house of God? They found what? The book of the law. Ain't it amazing? You start doing something with God, you're doing something for God, and all of a sudden you find the Word of God. It's not a mistake. If you will draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. You're not going to find God's purpose at the house, on TV, or on the internet. You're going to find it by doing something for the kingdom of God. And when you do that, you'll run right into something else God has for you. You'll be standing there going, man, I can't believe I'm in this, and I can't believe I'm doing it. And all of a sudden, somebody found the book. When I got saved, I didn't know anything about God. But guess what? I wanted to do something for the kingdom. And not shortly after that, I found a book. Amen? The book. I love this part. Watch this. Verse 10. And Zaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has delivered me a book. And Zaphan read it before the king. Ain't that neat? Zaphan found it and brought it up to the king's house. Now, that's one thing. We found the book of the law. The king should have said, well, I just ain't got time for that. I'm the king. I'm building a building. I'm doing all this stuff. I'm doing enough. But what did he say? Read it. Oh, golly, I wish I could just drill this. If you want to know the heart of who I am, praise God, I almost can't stand believers who don't read the Word of God. I'm being honest with you. Don't say I'm mean or nothing like that. I'm just telling you, God wrote us a 66-page love letter and gave it to you. And most of the time you're wondering, who's God? What does he want? Man, he's got a book that tells you everything about you and really about him. Really about him. You say, how do you know it's about him? Man, the book of John alone just says over and over and over, I am. I am, right? Let me give you one. It's my favorite. He comes to Lazarus' tomb, right? 4 days late. Didn't even show up at the funeral. Didn't send a card. They called 911. You've heard that. Hey, your friend's dying. Get over here. I cook for you. My sister worships you. And my brother is your best friend. Man, I broke that down before. I broke it down. And there's everybody in this room will get hit with this right here. Everybody in here will get hit with this. I've cooked for Jesus. Okay, A-type personalities in the room. I've done some stuff for Jesus. Why didn't he show up when I wanted him to? Amen? Here's Martha. Here's the other one. I worshiped him. I give him my whole heart. I don't love nobody more than him. I've poured everything I got into him. And he didn't show up. Amen? Is that pretty good for you worshipers? I've cried about him. I've rode down the road with tears running. I've ruined my mascara. I've ruined my hair. I've ruined my dress. I've ruined everything for God. God, okay, some of y'all went, oh, it's the women who worship. All right, men, I've ruined my masculinity. Man, people make fun of me because I cry for Jesus sometimes. The third one, and here, every man in here, you can deal with this. Probably didn't say a word. Oh, God. Bart, help me out right here. He's sitting there on his deathbed, laying. Sisters are doing sister stuff. And he's a man. I guarantee you, Charlie, I guarantee you without a shadow of a doubt, somewhere he rolled over on the side of the bed and he said this right here. Well, I thought we was good friends. I thought we was friends. I must not have been that good. I must not have been good enough. Any man in here just thought you just probably wasn't good enough? Hey, man. He's 4 days late. Shows up, meets Mary, meets Martha. Comes to the tomb. I love what he says. Do you believe? I believe. I believe he'll be raised up in the last days in the resurrection. Do you believe in the resurrection? It's my favorite one. He said, I am. All this time we're sitting here thinking there's the resurrection's a date on the calendar. No, it's a person. It's not a date. It's when Jesus shows up. That's why when nobody knows the day or the time, because it's a day, it ain't a day or a time. It's a man in whom his name is Jesus. And when the resurrection shows up, those that will be caught up in the resurrection. Amen? Whew. I love that. I thought you loved us. I do. Can I give you one more part of that message? I know it's a whole nother message. When God seems like he's letting you down, he's doing something greater. That's the key to that message. When you think he's letting you down and he's doing something that ain't right, he's doing something greater. You might not see it till glory, but he's doing something greater every time. You might sit there and beat your head against the wall. You might feel as small as a grain of sand on the sea. But I guarantee you, when you get to heaven, God will say, this is why and this is how. See, I was saving somebody. Oh, never mind. Goodness gracious. Where was I? Seeing himself. All right. He got the word. He listened for himself. Look at verse 13. Go ye inquire. This is the king. After he built the breeches back. He found the book. He heard the book. And listen now. This is good. Y'all good? He's being preemptive. Go ye and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and all of Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that is written concerning us. You know what he said? I've done what I'm supposed to be doing. I found the book. I heard the book. Now, go tell me what the book means. What's God up to? Preach to me. Prophesy. Tell me something where I can be prepared. Man, this is a preemptive strike. This is a blueprint. What do you do? Get busy serving God. Look at his word. Listen to his word. And praise God. Say, God, give me revelation of it. Don't let me sit in the dark. And they did. They went and they found the prophet. They said, hey, yeah, I'm about to judge this world. I'm about to judge your world, your kingdom. It's coming to an end. Look at this. I want to show you this before I go there. I'm going to jump over real quick because this is what he did. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, a thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. You know why he put that in the book? Every time I read that, we're sitting there going, yeah, the devil. That's the devil. Right? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He does. But you know how he gets you to do it? You know how he does it mostly? He wants you to be the king and the lord of your life. He gets you to chasing everything but God. And you replace God with stuff and self. Amen? But listen to what God said right here. I want you to see it. For the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. Listen to what he says. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I would ask somebody to read, but I know this is how it reads out in some version, and it's I like it. It goes like this. To have life and to have it to the full. Whew. It don't make sense to the world, but what God says, just like Josiah learned, if you go after him and his purpose, his word, his calling, his meaning of the word, then guess what? God is the giver of life. If you go after him and get rid of your life, you will find abundant life. If you go to fulfill your own life, you're going to find an empty life or a meaningless, oh man, an empty life, a meaningless life, a life that's not really worth living because at the end of it, you're going to be bitter and upset and mad because you didn't get the recognition or the thing that should fulfill you. But if you go after Christ, he keeps filling you up to the full all the time. Y'all don't believe me. Let me show you. Watch this. But, golly, I got tears in my eyes because the Holy Spirit was so strong a minute ago, almost had somebody else to finish this. But verse 18, look at it with me. Look how it starts. I know it's King James, but look at this right here. But to the king of Judah. Woo! Golly. No, wait a minute. Rewind. Hey, he said, I'm going to destroy Judah and Jerusalem. Amen? Okay? All right. I'm going to destroy the whole world. Right? Wouldn't you like to hear, but not you? Amen? Okay, that's what that was. Okay? But to the king of Judah. Hallelujah for a but. But me. But God intervened. Now, look, let me show you. Y'all don't believe me unless I read it to you. But the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord. Woo, glory. Thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord of God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard. God, look 19. Y'all get with me. Y'all ready? Watch. This is so powerful. Because thine heart was tender. Ain't that good? God is a heart man. He looks to the heart. He said, hallelujah, man, woo, because thine heart was tender and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Cutty hot. Man, do y'all ever see it like, I see it like this. I see God sitting in heaven on the throne. He's in control. His train fills the room. Holy, holy, holy. I wish y'all get to, it might not be this way, but I feel it. He says, hold on. Wait a minute. I got somebody who's got a tender heart to me, who's seeking me, who's weeping before me. Oh my God. Listen to that. Listen to it. That's what God's wanting. That's what God leans over heaven. When somebody says, God, I want you more than I want this world. Not my kingdom, but your kingdom. Not my crown, your crown. I don't know how to start, and I don't know how to finish, but God, it's about you. And God's going, I'm all right with that. You don't have to know how to start, and you definitely don't know how to finish. If it'll be about me, I can start you and I can finish. Golly, Bob. What I have begun in you, I can finish the work. God, it's good. I'm sorry, but this is just good to me. I'm just having a time. Saith the Lord, verse 20, and I'll be done. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee up unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into the grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Did he save anybody? Huh? He saved himself. But do you think he saved a lot more people? Go into the next chapter, you can read about it. He does. But guess what he did? Listen, I want you to hear this. Oh, man. He put a stay. He made a plea to the governor of our souls. And he put a stay on the judgment. And I don't know how many people got saved or people didn't get saved, but I know they had some more time. My God, y'all better get this or it's got me. I'm saved. What I'm doing now is I'm trying to get some more time for the people who ain't. The people that are under me who ain't. Amen? Let's do it and do it right so when our kids get more time. That God says, man, I see somebody who's brokenhearted. I see somebody who's tenderhearted. I will stay. I'll let them live in peace until they pass away. What that does is it extends time for other people to come to Christ. I don't know what my family's lives look like after me. So as much time as I can get between there and there, that's what I want. Amen? I'm going to heaven. I know it. But if God's going to give me some time to work while I'm here, that's going to extend some other, there's going to give some opportunity for some other people. Get busy serving God. This is Sunday night. This is not Sunday morning. You say, what's the difference? A good number of the people sitting in this church, you've been a core member of this church for a while. You're faithful enough to come when nobody else will come. God wants more out of your life than just church. He wants service. He wants your whole heart. And so what can we do? We've got a house of God that's got breaches in it. It's got holes in it. We've got work to do. We've got so many kids coming up in this church. Matter of fact, you know what we got? We got a family in this community. A man just came to this church who's gone off into eternity, and there's a boy there, the 6-year-old boy. So, well, that ain't our responsibility. Well, for the last 2 days, God's saying, I think it might be. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do? We take a boy fishing? Can we take him four-wheeling? Can we bring him to the house of God? Can we take him to get him something to eat every once in a while? And can we tell him, your daddy ain't here, but we can help out. That's what's on my heart. Amen. Things like that. Let's all stand.